Atlas, supporting the world on his shoulders. Anglo-Amalgamated Film Distributors Limited. Nat Cohen and Stuart Levy present a Peter Rogers production. Carry On Sergeant by R.F. Delderfield. Screenplay by Norman Haddis and additional material by John Antrobus. Starring William Hartnell, Bill Owen, Shirley Eaton, Bob Monkhouse, Eric Barker, Dora Bryan, Kenneth Connor, Charles Hawtrey, Kenneth Williams, Hattie Jakes, Terence Longdon, Norman Rossington, Gerald Campion, and Terry Scott. A newly married couple run to a wedding car through a crowd of well-wishers.
Congratulations. May all your troubles be little ones, and remember the first 10 years are the worst, with love from Granny. In accordance with warning notice already sent you, you are required to report to Heathercrest National Service Depot. Charlie, it's your call-up.
What do you mean, my call-up?
But it's our wedding day.
How can it be my call-up, Dad? You sent off an application for a 28-day extension for the wedding. Didn't you?
Me? No, you did.
I asked you to do it.
No, you didn't. You said you would.
Why doesn't somebody do something?
Next, a dark-haired Charlie's aboard a speeding steam train. Still with his wedding carnation in his buttonhole, he looks uncomfortable and loosens his tie. Eyeing the man opposite, he gets up and opens the window.
Look! Please! Please, I dropped! But it's stifling in here. Please, my eardrums are very thin, very weak. And the least suspicion of a draft and I'm finished!
Charlie closes it.
Cool. Oh, thanks, mate. Ah, don't!
Now what?
Please, do you mind not smoking? It affects me. I've got a week's time.
Now, look here.
Have a guitar pestle.
I haven't got guitar.
You don't know your limit, mate.
You going to hospital?
Into the army.
The army?
Yeah.
So am I. How'd you pass the medical influence?
Medical? A farce. A criminal farce. A1. Me. A flaming one. Army doctors. I'll tell you, mate. Two of everything you should have, two of, and you're in.
A soldier pushes open the gate of the Heathercrest National Service Depot.
We don't deserve your congratulations.
It was luck.
Pure luck.
What a lot of rubbish. Luck doesn't enter into it.
Sure it does, Grimmy. Take you now.
6 years of training, Sergeant. I never had a champion platoon.
It's bad luck.
Oh, no, it isn't. Listen, Paddy, every man has the instinct of soldiering in him, right?
Right enough.
Well, you've all done it. You've all had a champion platoon at one time or another. So shall I, with my next platoon.
Why, what's the hurry?
Well, that's my last platoon. I was leaving the army in 10 weeks, and it's my last chance.
Well, don't set your heart on it.
Now, listen, Sam Russell. Well, I want your advice.
Like to bet on it?
Well, I don't bet as a rule.
But scared?
Not a bit of it.
All right. 50 quid says no champion platoon.
The greying soldier, Sergeant Grimshaw, checks his watch as a covered truck drives by. Grimshaw clocks a young couple kissing in a flashy sports car. Having checked his uniform in a mirror, he looks surprised to see they're still snogging. Smiling, he approaches and salutes.
Sergeant Grimshaw, sir. Can I give you a lift to the mess, sir?
Well, that's extremely civil of you, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
The couple get out.
Let me take the bag, sir.
Why, thank you, Sergeant. Bye, darling. Oh, very nice place you have here, Sergeant.
Finest depot in the command, sir.
That's encouraging.
A truck pulls up, then Grimshaw steps down backwards from the cabin, and the handsome young man in a light-colored suit follows.
Well, Sergeant, where do I report?
That's the officer's mess over there, sir.
Very nice, too, but I happen to be a national serviceman.
Get in the back of that truck, will you? Fast!
Thank you, Sergeant.
Charlie's blonde wife's hanging out of the rear of a laundry truck.
Charlie! Charlie!
Did you see?
What?
Did you hear?
What? Where?
She called to me from a laundry van.
Look, look. Keep calm, Charlie boy. Look. Just a little while longer, eh? You'll see the M.O.
Oh, stop pawing me. I'm not ill. I did see her.
A man in a long coat and flat cap, along with his mate, let down the tailgate of the laundry truck, then step up to haul the first of the large baskets out. When they're gone, Charlie's better half, Mary, pushes a flap aside. She looks around, then runs past the naffy canteen, where a woman sees her through the window.
Go round the back, go on. Round the side, go on. Yes, and about time too, I'm thinking.
Seeing Mary, the woman's jaw drops.
You're the new girl, aren't you?
You're the manageress?
No, I'm Nora.
My name's Mary.
I don't care what your name is, as long as you can cut chips. Your overall's in that cupboard.
Thanks.
As Mary opens a cupboard, Nora looks gobsmacked at the pretty woman in the tailored suit and stylish shoes.
Here, where's your labour exchange card?
It's coming in the post.
Glancing anxiously at Nora, Mary slips on the overall, then picks up a potato. Nora watches sympathetically as Mary struggles to operate the chip-making machine.
Don't you know how it works, love?
Yes.
Nora comes over and takes the potato from Mary.
Oh, I'm not really the new girl. But please don't give me away. Please help me.
Oh, there, there, love. Come on, tell Nora all about it.
Now, look, you've got to face up to it. You are an obsessional with visual complications.
Look, once and for all, I got married this morning. There was a muddle over my deferment. Now, Mary must have followed me to the cabin. She's a very, very determined girl.
Well, personally, chaps, I believe him.
Please, do you mind belting up? You don't know nothing about psychiatry?
Possibly not, but I do know a little bit about women. Yeah. You know, there's certain chaps, old boy, who are always being chased by women. I know exactly how you feel.
Thank you.
Judging by their names, they should be a fine lot. There's a lot in the man's name, Corporal. Gives him character.
Grimshaw reads.
Strong, Sage, Bailey, Haywood, Galloway, go lightly.
Go lightly?
Go lightly. What's in the name? Corporal Coppin, you know how much depends on the success of this platoon, don't you?
50 quid, Sergeant.
That's only money. It is my reputation and perhaps your recommendation for promotion when I leave and possibly a slight percentage for you if I win.
When you win, Sergeant.
That's the spirit, Coppin. Now, let's have a look at our champion platoon, shall we?
Copping winks.
March the bench!
While the civilian-dressed men do as instructed, Copping stands to attention at the door, then Grimshaw enters.
All right, ladies, lads. I'm Sergeant Grimshaw, and this is Corporal Copping. Right?
He strides into the room a little, then turns.
Now, I'm a quiet, reasonable, humane man. I know. My mother told me. Oh, yes, I had a mother and a father, even though I'm a sergeant. And there's only one thing that rubs me up the wrong way, and that's a man that doesn't pull his weight in my platoon. In that respect, I'm a veritable Jekyll and Hyde. But somehow, looking around me, I don't think that nasty side of my character's going to rouse itself this time. I judge a body of men on sight. And I don't mind telling you lads, I feel distinctly encouraged at the prospects. Don't disappoint me. Right, any questions?
Can I report sick, please?
While Copping cringes, Grimshaw strides through the barrack with a baton tucked under his arm.
What's your name?
Strong. Howie Strong.
Corporal Copping?
Sergeant!
Copping marches over at the double.
Private Strong. On sick report tomorrow. Anyone else?
Please, sir.
Charlie.
Now, don't call me sir. Sound to you. You feeling sick too?
Oh, no, Sergeant. I want some leave.
Leave? Why, you've only just arrived, son.
Oh, but it's vital, Sergeant. Compassionate. You see what happened?
All right. You don't have to tell the world. Copping.
Sergeant!
This man to see the company commander.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant.
Not now. When you're sent for, get back in line.
But, Sergeant...
Quiet! I never did.
Grimshaw goes over and taps a round-faced serviceman's guitar with his silver knob baton.
What's that?
Haven't you ever seen a guitar before, Sergeant? Where you been living?
Right here, you numbskull, where you're going to live for the next 10 weeks with that banjo out of sight.
Banjo?
Yes, out of sight, understand?
I dig.
You'll dig, all right. I'll see to that. We've met.
Yes, Sergeant.
And no more skylarking, right? Who you're for it, got it?
Yes. Sergeant.
Corporal!
Sergeant!
Empty bed! What's that man?
I don't know, Sergeant.
What's his name?
His name's Golightly.
I might have known it. Find him.
Sergeant! Golightly!
Major Tarrow!
Riley, Golightly! Oh.
I'm so sorry. Hello. Did someone call?
Golightly, where have you been?
Must I say?
Come here! Major Tarrow!
Golightly trots airily up to Grimshaw.
Where have you been?
Well, I got locked in somewhere. You see, I... Oh, dear, have you hurt yourself?
I've got some lotion here.
Quiet, the none of you!
Oh, do stop shouting, please.
Grimshaw bristles, takes his baton, then turns and points.
You there!
Is that remark addressed to me?
Grimshaw approaches the young man, who's lying on his bunk with a book.
Stand to attention when I'm talking.
Why?
Why? Don't ask why. Do as you're told. You're in the army, son.
Oh, not quite. I'm still a civilian, with civilian rights. Now, don't shout, please.
What is your name? Please.
Bailey. James Bailey. How do you do?
Fine. Absolutely bloody fine. But I'll feel even better once you're in uniform.
Thank you, Sergeant.
All right, carry on, Corporal.
As you were.
Bespectacled Golightly walks over to Charlie and Horace.
The Sergeant doesn't seem to like us. I wonder why.
I don't know. Why's it happened to me? Isn't there any justice?
Oh, you don't want to worry, Sergeant. It'll be all right.
It'll be what? You were there. You saw them. Out of 24 men, I'm lumbered with one hypochondriac, one natural-born candidate with a glass house, a rock and roller, a shadow of a man haunted by Lord knows what, and a popsy-chasing layabout and some lethal idiot who gets himself locked in, well, you know where.
Yes, but I mean, look, if
any
you...
one of those clots could sabotage a squad. Well, I've got them all. About turn. We're 24% non-effective before we start. How in the name of Watershot can it work out?
But I mean, it's got to. Your reputation depends on
my reputation, my foot. What about my 50 quid riding on that lot, eh?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, there's only one thing for it. We'll have to chase the living daylights.
No. That's no good. That'd be fatal. Half the mob in the guardroom's no good to me.
Yes, but Sergeant...
Will you have us? No, Copping, we've got to be subtle. Subtle. We must be kind. Considerate.
Kind?
Yes. These are delicate blooms, Copping.
Are they?
Yes.
A man strolls in.
Hello. You must be the new lot. Greetings, Cat.
Cat? No, my name's not Cat.
Are you in our platoon?
No, not Cat. Brown. Herbert Brown. What you say?
Are you in our platoon?
No. I just live here.
Yeah, I think I can understand him. You received a severe blow on the head as a child, didn't you?
No, that was my brother.
Horace, old man, can't you forget psychiatry for 1 minute?
I was only trying to help him.
Oh, I don't need any help, thanks. Well, ta-ra, fellas. See you at the Naffy, perhaps. Hello, Corp.
Don't get lost.
Yeah, Corporal. Who was that soldier?
Oh. That was no soldier, that was Herbert.
I give up.
Don't worry, so did the army.
Here we are, chaps.
Good.
Help yourself.
Great, thank you. Wonder where Charlie's got to.
With his wife, of course. Love will find a way.
Okay, mate. You don't really think that that woman's on this camp, do you? I tell you, it's just...
An hallucination, we know.
all right, you can laugh.
We should never have let him go. He's probably cutting his throat now. Bleeding to death in the ablutions.
I hope not. I have to sluice him out every morning. I'll clean up everywhere in the camp. That's my job.
Are you a regular?
No, National Service.
Here, what about your training?
Don't do it anymore. Haven't done it for... months. Oh, I don't want to try again.
Again? How many courses have you been through?
Three, I think. But now... Look, there's my excused webbing chit, my excused marching chit, excused handling of firearms chit, chit for...
Blimey! You're just an heap of chits.
Charlie comes into the Naffy, grabs a chair, then joins the others.
Well, go on, say it. I'm crackers.
No luck.
Does it look as if I've had any luck? This place is vast. I've trapped over every inch of it, not so much as a lock of a hair. Well, go on, say it. I'm crackers. It was all my imagination.
Oh, well now, this is a great step forward, Charlie boy. You see, now that you realise there's something wrong with you, well, there's a chance of a cure. Yes, now... You are a uxoromaniac, obsessed with the idea of marriage.
Wouldn't you be, if you were married this morning?
Oh, shut up, please.
Who's this?
That's Herbert.
Hello, Herbert.
Hi.
Let's get drunk.
Dangerous, dangerous. Cool. Drinking on top of an obsession. Why don't you shut up?
As Charlie stands up, he spots Mary at the counter.
It's her. It's Mary. He's off again. Stop him.
Charlie!
Mary.
Oh, Charlie.
Don't worry, miss. I'll take care of him. Very sad case. He's very, very unbalanced.
Don't you talk that way about my husband.
Husband?
Good night, Horace.
Wearing a big muffler scarf, Horace goes to turn away, then looks back at Nora, who makes eyes at him.
Anything I can do for you, soldier?
Looking panicked, Horace runs out.
But, darling, how on earth did you get here?
Never mind how I got here. I'm here, and tonight's our wedding night.
You don't mean...
Darling, you don't think I came here just to become a Naffy girl?
Oh, well, no, but how? Where? I mean, there's over a dozen blokes in my hut.
Nora, she's arranged everything.
Who's Nora?
What's the matter? I'm in love.
Congratulations.
Must be the aura created by your happiness. After 3 years wearing out my eyeballs, looking at each lot of new recruits that comes in, at last I've found him.
We're very happy for you.
It was that chap that was with you.
Horace?
Oh, time stands still when I say that name.
Not for Charlie and me, it doesn't.
Oh, yes, of course. Now, listen. It's all arranged. There's a spare room, but you've got to be ever so careful.
Wearing a black top and light skirt, Mary tiptoes along a corridor. She passes fire buckets and an extinguisher, then gently opens a room's door. Somebody's asleep under a blanket. Mary approaches slowly.
Don't pretend you're asleep. Darling.
Oh, darling, don't tease. Wouldn't you rather have the light on, Charlie, darling?
Shocked to see it's Grimshaw, Mary turns the light off and hurries out. In the corridor, she sees a man's silhouette cast in the glass doors, so runs off in the other direction. Charlie steps into the corridor and closes the door soundlessly behind him. Smiling, he walks stealthily to Grimshaw's room and knocks.
Bashful.
Mary, darling.
Hearing movement, Charlie closes his eyes, puckers his lips, and holds out his arms as the door opens. He sees it's Grimshaw. Next day, Horace rubs his hands, then winces, before taking a seat in the medical centre along with others. A corporal speaks to him.
Right, now then, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's my floating kneecap.
Oh, well, take off your trousers.
Efficient.
We do our best. Go in when you hear the bell.
Righto.
What's wrong with you?
Fell on my elbow. I don't think it's broken.
Well, take off your tunic, then roll up your sleeves. Clean that up.
Horace goes through to see the doctor, then comes straight back out.
What's the matter?
Why didn't you warn me?
Corporal! What's the matter with this man?
I'm sorry, Captain Clark.
Oh, no, shock. Oh, me heart.
Hurry up, man, hurry up.
I want to change my doctor.
This isn't the National Health Service. Either you see Captain Clark or you don't report sick at all. It's up to you.
Clutching his trousers but still wearing his big scarf, Horace looks anxiously towards the surgery. With great trepidation, he walks into the room.
Leave! Leave! Will you?
On the parade ground.
Ah! Help!
Go lightly keeps going.
So sorry. I was miles away. You know how it is sometimes.
Come back here, you stupid sleepwalking son of a...
Delicate blues.
Private, go lightly. Now you really must try and concentrate from now on, right?
Oh, yes. I'll try.
Thank you. All right, go in here and get your kit. This best.
Concentrate.
Give this to the corporal on the way out.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
You've come to the right place. Just in time.
For physiotherapy?
For physical jerks. Get on with your training, soldier. There's nothing wrong with your knee.
But, ma'am, I can feel it floating.
Let me know when you feel it sinking.
Lars Hatteras, one, Barry, one. Lars, one, get us two.
The men line up in their civvies to collect their army kits.
Draw, set it up there, three.
Knives, class one.
Got everything? Hi there.
Draw, set it up there, three.
I say, really, does one have to?
Yes, one does. Next. Knives, class one.
Oh, thank you. I say, look. A knife for getting things out of a horse's foot. I've always wanted one of these.
Phil dressing one.
Size of head.
I'm the faintest idea. I never wear a hat.
Big.
Charming.
Next.
One housewife.
Housewife?
Oh, Mary.
That's the lot, boys. Tea break.
To Horace.
What do you want?
I want me kit, Sergeant.
Why are you late?
Well, I had to report sick.
You fit now?
The doctor says I am.
She better be right.
Why?
Take a deep breath. You're about to become the fastest kitted out soldier in the British Army. Hey, boys, one recruit coming up. Full kit on the double before you go to tea.
The kit sergeant straps a rifle on Horace.
Okay, boys. Right, let's go!
He sends Horace hurtling alongside the supply counter, where each man adds the next bit of kit. Outside, the pile's so high, Horace can't see where he's going.
Hey, mate!
Hmm?
Do me a favour, please.
What's that?
Point me in the direction of my barrack room. Right.
The corporal gives Horace a firm push off, sending him across the parade ground. The men are now marching in uniform.
What's the matter with you? Get into line of family! Platoon! Stand still! What's the matter with that man? Moving about, what do you think it is, a dance floor? Platoon! Left! Tap!
Copping.
All present, correct, Sergeant.
Get in! Standard! Ace! Stand easy! Now you're about to meet your company commander, Captain Phillips. Some men live for drink, but some for women. And quite frankly, I don't know why some men bother to live at all. There's no doubt, however, why Captain Potts lives. It's for efficiency. He's known throughout the command as Potts the Perfect. The Perfect Potts. All right, that's enough, that's enough. Now, you lads are in uniform for the first time. And I think you'll all agree with me that you don't yet look like soldiers. It would be stupid of me to expect that.
It would that. He's very fair.
That man there! Private Golightly, someone should have told you. You're not to talk when you're on parade. It's not the custom. So don't do it. Understand?
Oh, yes, I understand.
Right. Now, where was I? What was I saying?
How stupid you are.
Stop talking on parade, will you? Or I'll carve the Queen's regulations all over your scalp. Didn't you hear what I just told you, Private Golightly? Right. Now, it would be nice, when Captain Potts arrives, if you could stand at ease and attention properly. Show him what you can do. Be efficient. Shall we try it once or twice, shall we? Corporal! Demonstrate. Now, pay attention, all of you. Stand there! Attention!
Oh, good. Very good.
All right, Corporal. Now, let's see what you can do. Sit down! Brace yourselves, brace yourselves. Sit down! Attention! Private Golightly, don't go quite so lightly next time.
Very good.
Joke's over, joke's over. Sit down! Stand up! Ice! Attention!
Golightly falls over.
Get up, you clumsy, quarter-witted, half-baked moon calf! One more hematome move like that and I'll...
50 quid, delicate blooms.
All right, now. Here comes Captain Potts. Do your best, lads. Probably it is.
Grimshaw salutes bespectacled and mustachioed Potts, who returns the gesture. Walking along the row, Potts eyes the new recruits.
Well, all of you are half asleep. Like a lot of flamingos. Not half as clever. Flamingos go to sleep on one leg. You lot are all asleep on two. How many legs does a flamingo go to sleep on? Slow, slow.
Quick, quick, slow.
Silence. Alert mind plus responsive body equals efficient soldier.
To the round-faced lad.
Who are you?
Galloway, sir.
That's a useless answer. Two factors omitted, number and rank. Soldier without a number and rank, like a man without a soul. Try again. Who are you?
4277309, Private Galloway, sir.
What, no Christian name, you heathen?
Andy. A.
Slow. Watch this man, Sergeant. Slow with it. Stand at height. John. At ease. John. At ease. John. At ease. John. Still in dreamland. You dream?
Yes, sir.
What about?
Blood.
Whose?
Mine.
Timorous spirit of aggression is rising here, Sergeant. You should dream of the enemy's blood. Now then, close your eyes. What's the first thing comes into your head?
Blood.
Whose?
Yours.
Fine.
What? Mine, sir. The enemy's.
Indecisive. Try sleeping on your stomach. Proper rest plus graded exercise equals integrated instincts. Who are you?
4277312, Private Sage C, sir.
Now say it backwards. Come on.
3127...
If you can't think backwards, how do you expect to think the proper way? Watch this man, Sergeant. Rigid mental processes. Achieve flexibility. Flexibility plus discipline equals communal initiative.
It does, sir. It does, sir.
It does, yes. You.
Yeah.
What? Who are you?
James Bailey, BSc Economics.
Your number?
I'm not proud of it. It was given to me. I earned my degree.
Your rank?
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Look at this man.
You've nothing to complain of. Look at the suit they've given me. Look at this, plumped on my head, without even the pretense of fitting. As a good soldier, I accepted it without complaint. As a good officer, what do you think?
Well, pride in appearance plus confidence in one's superior equals good start. Fall out. Get yourself a new hat.
Excuse me.
Of course. What? Well, who are you?
4277298, Private Hayward M, sir.
Hayward? Ah. Ever heard of General Hayward?
My father, sir.
Really? Rear Admiral Hayward?
My grandfather, sir.
Air Commodore Hayward?
My uncle, sir.
Ah, quick test. What's the first thing that comes into your head?
Women, sir.
You're a soldier by tradition and instinct. What's this man, Sergeant?
Right, left, right.
While copping belts out orders, James is inside, trying on his new regimental beret, admiring himself in a mirror.
Cut! What you going here? I stand by your beds for a hat and a kit inspection. Platoon! Dismiss!
As Able Platoon enter the barrack room, James quickly slips his beret off and hides the mirror. Charles is looking over Hayward's shoulder at a photograph.
Well, there we are, chaps. There's how we lay out our kit.
One diagram among 24 people. Not very helpful.
Hello, Jim. Are you joining us? I thought you'd be in the cooler by now, all nice and individualistic.
I changed my mind. Sociologically, it's important for me to find out just how far one can retain one's individuality in the army.
And biologically, it's important I get my leave. Oh, no, please, fellas, let's make this inspection good. If anything goes wrong, my leave might go up the spout as well.
Poor old Charlie.
Charlie carefully compares his neat kit display on his bunk to the diagram, then a lad stumbles into the bed.
Watch yourself, you big clumsy ox.
Oh, cut the bull, Charlie. Imagine you being worried about keeping a bed tidy.
Get out of it. Here you are, Horace. You better check yours. Properly. See, now for the hut. Tables, deal, two. Now.
Here you are. You can have this.
Oh, ta.
Taking a list out of his tunic pocket, Horace opens a well-stocked medicine cabinet. Checking off the bottles, he nods. Confident Hayward sees that go lightly seems to be a little at a loss.
Would you like me to give you a hand?
I seem to have more kit than anyone else.
Hayward moves go lightly's shoes.
Pete, why don't you go and help Charlie?
Okay, Miles. Thank you.
Extinguishes fire, too. Extinguishes fire, too, Peter. No fire extinguishers.
Perhaps this place is fireproof.
Yeah, but it's not pots proof. Extinguishers fire two, it says, and extinguishers fire two, he'll want to see. I'm not taking any chances. Come on, we're going to borrow a couple.
Oh, bear up, dear. Perhaps he's had his interview for leave by now, and you'll be off together in no time. Better late than never.
Oh, I shouldn't go on like this. At least I'm married. While you?
Oh, I'm suffering the pangs of first love. Painful, but... oh, it's exquisite. Don't worry about me, dear. Or Charlie. Oh, there he is, look.
Oh, Mary. Oh, I'm so relieved to see you.
Is everything all right, darling?
No. No fire extinguishers.
Fire extinguishers?
Everything depends on them. Oh, my God, Ringo. Goodbye. Get up.
Hayward. We must concentrate on Hayward. I wasn't wrong. He's got officer written all over him.
Yes, if we can get him recommended for officer cadet, we're home and dry.
Exactly. And it'll help towards champion platoon rating. And maybe inspire... Hurry up!
Carry on, Sergeant.
Very good, sir. Stand by your bench!
Potts begins by pointing out his squint beret.
Done.
Yep.
As Charlie and Golightly charge into the barrack room with the fire extinguishers, Golightly accidentally sets his off and it sprays copious amounts of white foam over everything and everyone. Potts spits out a mouthful of frothy foam.
Somebody help! Private Sage here.
Ah, Sage.
Sir.
An application for leave on your first day, man. Why?
Compassionate reason, sir. You see, my girl...
You want leave to get married, do you?
Oh, no, sir, no, sir. It's just that I want to arrange things.
Oh. You dirty rotter.
Oh, no, sir, please, sir. You don't understand.
I understand perfectly. Respectable girl, plus six mare dues, multiplied by a Cherubong outing, equals three lives ruined. See the chaplain.
Oh, but I've already seen the chaplain, sir.
Is this true, Sergeant?
No, sir. Not to my knowledge, sir.
Look, you better watch yourself, Sage. Lying won't help you, you know.
I'm not lying, sir.
Then why did you say you've seen the chaplain?
Well, I have seen the chaplain, sir. Not this chaplain, sir.
Oh. Oh, army chaplain, not good enough, eh?
Oh, no, sir. Please, listen, sir.
Well, come on then. Sharp.
I'm already married, sir.
Oh, and stringing along with another girl.
No, sir. I am married, sir, but I'm not married, sir, if you know what I mean.
Don't know. How can you be married and not married? Eh?
Well, it's easy, sir, when you got called up on your wedding day.
Oh, well, that's what I think I'm in the picture now, Serge. Maneuvers cancelled, huh?
I should have applied for a deferment, sir, but it got all mixed up. And... Oh, please, sir, if I could just have a few hours, days leave, sir. Oh, please, sir.
Well, I think in the circumstances, Sergeant, 7 days leave. Any questions?
Now, sir?
No. Carry on, Sergeant.
Very good, sir. Only left hand. Left, right.
Grimshaw escorts Charlie out of the office. Potts pins a chart to the training progress board, listing all the platoons, including Able Platoon. As training begins, the men are put through their paces, vigorous star jumps with an instructor, marching on the parade ground. Observing, Copping has a look of dismay on his face. The gun sergeant holds a class. Grimshaw barks commands.
Get them up. Come on, faster than that. Cut in. All right, pop. All right, now listen. When I say move, I want you through those beams and round behind me in a semicircle. All right, move.
In the gym, the lads clamber over a wooden frame.
Come on, get up there.
Look, Corporal, have I got to go all the way up there?
What's the matter with you, sick?
What, me?
Come on, get up.
All right. Oh, what are you doing?
Oh, I was trying.
Copping falls to the floor with Horace, while Golightly's stuck on the rope climb.
Corporal.
Oh, no.
Potts draws a line from 100 down to 50 points on the progress chart.
No hope.
Not today. You're all right.
But, Doctor, I can feel a definite thump.
Regularly, a boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. That's it.
Yes. Strong, that's your heart beating normally.
Wavy-haired Nora's waiting expectantly outside, close by the medical centre, with her clunky tea trolley and urn. When she sees Horace, she pushes the trolley over the bumpy ground into his midriff.
Hello.
Hello.
Lovely day.
Passable kind of day, I suppose, if you haven't got jaggy great spots in front of your eyes.
Never mind. I'm sure it won't interfere with your reading your letters when the post comes.
Letters? Post? Me?
Why not? Don't tell me that you haven't got a girlfriend or, wife.
Me?
You haven't? Oh, good.
Horace runs off. Watching from the medical centre, Clark smiles knowingly to herself at the exchange.
From a honeymoon back to this. Must be terrible.
Yeah, we'd have a whip round by malt water bottle.
I say he does look pale.
Well, wouldn't you? Thinking of 9 more weeks without your little wifey? How was it, Charlie boy?
Well, if you really want to know...
They perk up.
We spent a good deal of time in labour exchanges, fixing Mary up with a proper temporary job in the Nappy here. for the next 9 weeks. Anyone for bayonet practice?
Right there. Think of all the things you'd have. Freedom. The day of your release. The cup final. Me. Anything you like. This evil monster stands between you and it. He'll kill you rather than see you get it. So you have to kill him. You have no choice. Model?
Copping rushes forward, bayonets the sack dummy, then runs back and hands the rifle to a quaking Horace.
All right now, one at a time. Remember your soldiers, fighting for everything you love. Fill with noble savagery. All right, let's have you.
Again! Charge!
Oh, dear.
Horace trips over, and the bayonet sticks in the ground at Grimshaw's feet. The short man prays.
On your feet! Catch! Right, next!
Touch!
Ah! Round-faced Calloway stabs the dummy, but then the bayonet's stuck. Grimshaw goes over and helps him.
Get back in line, will you? Not that way. Round the back of the dummy. All right, next.
Touch! Ah!
In a netted helmet, Charlie attacks the dummy that's suspended by a rope. Now he can't find the bayonet. Grimshaw comes and removes it from the stuffed sack torso.
Pick it up.
Charlie does as he's told under Grimshaw's withering gaze. Head down, Hayward sprints forward, misses the dummy, and keeps on going. James strikes.
Don't you think this is a trifle out of date in a world bristling with H-bombs, Sergeant?
Now then, you beast, peasant, commoner, amateur, varlet, hand back that cup final ticket.
Private Bailey, in answer to your question, I'd back him against the H-bomb any day.
You beast, peasant, commoner.
Well, don't just stand there, help me get him out.
You pirate, take that and that. Let go, this is my turn.
Let go! Do you want to kill someone?
The platoon scores at 30.
Now, this is nice and slow, so even you lot can manage. All right, Corporal? Demonstrate. Now, pay attention. Slow! March!
Copping does as he's ordered.
All right, Corporal. Now, this is used on funerals. Work at it. You're very likely to be doing it at mine. Yeah! Now, let's try it, shall we? Platoon! Platoon! Attend! On! On! Slow march! Left! Right!
Go Lightly kicks James's bum.
Yeah.
Oh, you kicked
it. I didn't mean it. It was your fault. Yes, it was.
How did I do
that?
You shut up.
Grimshaw marches over.
Blind! Lame! That's what you are! All of you! And stand still! Now, as you were, and dress off. At the double! You misbegotten misfits! What do you think this is? What do you think I'm made of? Iron? I ought to burn the lot of you in the guardroom for persistent, unrelenting, blundering, malicious stupidity. I'll paralyze the lot of you. Look at you, standing as if you're pregnant.
Wouldn't surprise me after the way I've been mucked about.
Sheriff!
Sergeant!
All right. Let's try it again, shall we? Platoon! Platoon, attend, hun!
All right, now pay attention. This morning we're going on with lesson one on the light machine gun, commonly known as the Bren. Now, during this period, I'm going to show you how to strip it and assemble it. Right, now, for normal stripping, we divide a gun into four major parts. Number one...
What's the matter with you, soldier?
Smell of the oil. I've got an allergy to it.
Well, I've heard of some dodges in my time.
Excuse me.
What's your trouble?
Well, just a suggestion. Why doesn't Private Strong change places with me?
Are you taking the mickey?
Well, let's see, shall we? Private Strong is affected by the odor of oil. I am not. I make a suggestion intended to help him and you. Is that taking the mickey, Sergeant?
Is it ready to turn you up, son?
Something wrong. Here.
What are you sitting down there for? Change places with the man at the back.
Here.
Holding his belly, Horace swaps places with James and takes a seat further back at the window.
Now then, number one. Remove the piston group and place it on the right-hand side of the gun. Right. Number two, the barrel group. Lift up the barrel locking nut as high as it'll go. Take up the cannon handle and ease the barrel forward until it is clear and place it on the right-hand side of the piston group. Number three, the butt. Lift up the gun gently and pull the butt back away from the body and lay it on the right-hand side of the barrel group. Right, number four. To remove the last two groups, grip the bipod in the left hand and turn the body of the gun towards you and they'll come apart. Place the body of the gun on the right-hand side of the butt group and the bipod on the right-hand side of the body. There you are. You now have your gun stripped down into its four major groups. Now, are there any... Hey, you at the back! Hey, you!
Sir, Sergeant?
What are you gawping out of that window for?
I was listening, Sergeant, really I was.
And you know all about it, weren't you? Up on your feet! Come here.
During the demonstration, Charlie was communicating with Mary through a window while Horace was doing his best to avoid the attentions of Nora in front of the class.
So you know all about the Bren gun, eh?
Yes, Sergeant.
There it is, look at it. I've stripped it down for you, haven't I?
Yes, Sergeant.
Well, put it together again.
He steps away and the soldiers look on attentively as Charlie sets about the job. First, Charlie sits the body of the gun into the bipod strut at the front, then slides in the butt section before attaching the barrel. Glancing over, the gun sergeant looks amazed at the recruit's progress. Clicking the trigger, Charlie's done.
Sergeant. Get up, all of you!
Well, looks as though you was listening, after all.
I wasn't listening.
Hey?
I used to work in the factory where they make these things.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Evening.
Good evening, Mrs. Sage.
If you say that again, I'll give you a thick ear. No one's supposed to know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'd like a bar of chocolate, please, miss.
Handing over the chocolate, Mary's already on her way to Charlie at the back door.
I say, she didn't ask for the money.
Thoughtless.
Oh. Nora gazes at Horace, who panics and dashes out, leaving her disappointed.
Well, you see, I can't keep my hand closed. Every time I shut it, look, it flies open.
Because you want it to open.
No, I don't. Look, this is a terrible affliction. Oh, and hand with a will of its own. It's psychosomatic. Or maybe it's because the tendons is like elastic.
Nonsense.
Oh, look, this one's starting now.
Open your hands. Listen to me, Strong.
This is frightening.
There's nothing wrong with your hands.
I want an x-ray.
Dismiss.
You've got no feeling for the sick.
I remind you I'm an officer.
And I remind you that I'm a sick man.
Having thumped the desk, Horace looks accusingly at his fist.
Dismiss. See you tomorrow.
Oh,
Fire! Number two gun! Fire! Number three gun! Fire!
Potts looks at targets through his binoculars.
Detail! Unload!
Two short of target and one outer. That's bad, wasteful. This squad plus ammunition equals increased army estimates.
Number one gun clear, sir.
Number two gun clear, sir.
Number three gun clear, sir.
Carry on, Sergeant.
Detail, change.
Horace is next.
Number one gun, load. I said number one gun, load. Get down.
Yeah, but the ground's damp, Sergeant. I suffer from recurrent rheumatism.
You'll suffer from life imprisonment if you don't get down. Now get down there and load.
Grimshaw pushes Horace's backside lower.
Number two gun, load.
To Calloway.
Raise your backside, man.
You said your backside.
Number three gun, load.
Go lightly, flicks a catch, then tries to force the magazine home.
Excuse me.
So sorry, I'm all thumbs today.
Oh, champion platoon.
Carry on, Corporal.
All right. Now just like that, one at a time. No delays. Let's have you.
James swings.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Get back in line. Right, next.
Calloway misses the rope and tumbles into the pit.
All right, next one.
Golightly swings over successfully, passes the rope to Grimshaw, then topples backwards into the mud alongside Calloway. Potts makes a note in his book.
Next.
To Horace.
Jump, man, jump.
Horace flinches.
Jump, man, jump! Oh, it's all right for you lot. You haven't had a go yet. Oh, my bones are weak.
Jump!
Get it on!
Let go! Let go!
Let go!
Horace doesn't. Week six, and the platoon's score slides down to 20.
Nora would have given anything to have been on that rope with Horace. Short of being trapped together like that, she'll never get with him. Even avoids going into the nappy now.
Oh, Charlie, I do wish we could do something for Nora. She's so terribly unhappy.
Well, I'd like to help, but if he won't even talk to her...
He could be... What did you say, trapped?
Did I say that? Well, what are you going to trap him with, a net?
A rope.
Oh, now, wait a minute, darling. Now, we mustn't interfere...
Shh, darling. I'm thinking.
We haven't finished the bread yet.
Oh, never mind about that. But you've got an important message to deliver from Sergeant Grimshaw.
I was told to report here for fatigues.
Oh. Well, come on in then.
Rolling his beret anxiously, Horace paces forward.
You can help with these if you like.
Nora hands him a bowl of spuds, then Horace goes rigid with anxiety. Herbert.
Jim, what's that word?
Obtuse.
What's it mean?
Unteachable.
Oh, that's me. Wish I was like you. You're clever. Knowledge in a nutshell, it says. But I can't get it into my nut. Jim, I've been meaning to ask you for weeks. What's the secret?
What secret?
How to learn.
There's no secret. You just learn.
I don't. I've been in three squads. I don't seem to learn nothing. Take the rifle, for instance. Sat Russell says with one of these things in me mitt, I'm a danger to everyone except the enemy.
Then he's an idiot.
No, I'm the idiot. Sat Russell said I was. So did Sergeant O'Brien.
Do you mean to tell me that neither of them could show you a simple thing like the workings of a rifle?
Oh, they showed me. So did Sergeant Grimshaw. But I was always at the back and... Don't have to talk fast.
Now, look. There's nothing to it. For a start, this is the safety catch. Now, nothing can go wrong once it's this way.
Oh. That way.
What are your fatigues for?
Because I wouldn't let go of a rope.
Don't talk much, do you?
What's there to talk about?
Oh. Life.
Life. Infection. Decay. And death, that's life.
What's your name?
What's it to you? I'm just an anonymous blob of khaki, that's all. I'm just a...
No, you're not. I know your name anyway.
How?
Made it my business to find out.
Why?
Can't you guess?
Well, that's it.
Looks easy enough.
It is. Actually, it's quite well designed.
Let me have a go. I got you.
That's it.
I've been trying to tell you ever since I first saw you.
No! You're on my toe.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you're in my heart here.
Well, don't do that. You do yourself an injury.
Oh, what does it matter if you don't respond to me? I might as well be dead. Oh, Horace, I'm a woman, violent and passionate, and I'm yours.
Let's get on with the fatigues.
There aren't any. It was a trick.
A trick?
Oh, I was desperate to be alone with you. The message from the sergeant. It was from me.
Charlie. Charlie Ruttons.
Oh, Horace, oh, I do love you.
What? I'll murder him. I will. I'll breathe germs on him.
Why are you so frightened of love, Horace?
Let me get out. I'm ill. Got to take a pill.
Oh, no, it's not a pill that you need, my darling. It's me. Oh, imagine the bliss of having someone to love you and someone to take care of you.
Please, someone might hear you.
Oh, let the whole world hear. But we must give ourselves time to get to know each other. Say about, half an hour.
He relaxes his shoulders.
What's your name?
Oh, at last. It's Nora.
Nora. Good night.
Horace legs it.
There's nothing to it. With his background, I would be an absolute cakewalk for it.
Hey, that man!
Horace! Horace, come back! Horace!
Well, I'm glad he's useful at something. Left right! Party help! Private Hayward, sir.
Hayward, I've asked Sergeant Grimshaw to keep an eye on you. He has, and so have I. And despite certain unfortunate incidents in which you were involved, you're here.
Yes, sir. Why, sir?
Oh, can't you guess?
I haven't the faintest idea, sir.
Modest? Honest. I think you're right about this man, son.
Thank you, sir.
Fill this in, Hayward.
I don't have to, do I, sir?
Huh? Well, it's not an order, Hayward, but surely...
Oh, well, that's all right then, sir. I don't want to be an officer, sir.
Principle of heredity shattered. Explain.
Well, sir... What were your father, grandfather, and uncle?
Oh, perfect. Pots and pots. Porcelain manufacturers.
And you're in the army?
Well, of course, the army's my whole life.
Principle of heredity shattered, sir. Just like me. I mean, my people are senior officers, I know, sir. But general plus air commodore plus rear admiral equals me, I'm afraid, sir. Just an ordinary national serviceman. I'm just not a leader of men. Sorry, sir.
Dismissed. Carry on, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. 20, left hand. Hey, march. Left right.
Potts gets out of his chair angrily, goes over to the chart, and marks the platoon down to 10 points.
Morning.
Morning. What trouble?
Stomach.
Too often.
Not enough.
Number 9.
The complications.
Given time.
See you tomorrow.
Dismissed.
On the assault course, a serviceman in full kit, helmet, rifle and backpack slithers through a suspended tyre. Charlie's next, but he gets stuck as Potts makes an inspection.
Button undone.
Grimshaw grabs the struggling Charlie. At a wall obstacle, Calloway holds onto a rifle as a serviceman hauls him up. Screwing his face up at the drop, he jumps, but his backpack snags on the wall, leaving him suspended. Hayward swaggers onto a beam with his hands in his pockets.
That man!
Take your hands out of your pockets.
I beg your pardon?
Take your hands out of your pockets.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sergeant.
Hitching his trousers up, Horace clambers onto a net climb, then slips, nearly throttling himself. Copping looks up at him.
Get your hair cut in the morning.
At a water jump, Potts and Grimshaw watch as men leap over. Golightly stops, pinches his nose, then jumps in. James gets barged into the drink too.
I've seen better.
Here, didn't he say pierce the tin?
I heard what he said.
On your feet!
A tin's in a pan of boiling water.
Yeah, well, there's one job you couldn't make a mess of, eh? Well, it's not too bad. Hope for you yet. A little perseverance plus common sense.
Their score hits zero.
Morning, Strong.
It's my scalp. I've got kind of nervous itch.
Oh, really?
Clark stands up, goes to the door and takes her beret from a hook.
Well, aren't you even going to examine me?
No. I'm taking you for a ride.
Aye?
Go on, then.
Let home! Let home! Our turn! Hunt!
On the parade ground, Grimshaw salutes Potts.
Stand at ease, please, Sergeant.
Let home! Stand at ease!
Well, this is your last day of training. Tomorrow, you'll get proficiency tests on a passing out parade. And you'll finish the worst of all the platoons here. Someone's got to be bottom, but get that cut in the morning. You. Someone's got to be bottom, but this is absolute extremism. Utter disgrace. Platoon's a shambles. Worst we've ever had here at Heathercrest. Glad to see the back of you. Clumsy fools plus innate idleness equals you, all of you. Carry on, Sergeant.
Grimshaw turns and gives Able Platoon a disparaging look.
Well, you heard.
Gentlemen, this is the case in question. Private Horace Strong. He has reported sick every day for 10 weeks. His ailments are varied and elusive, so far as I, a mere GP, can diagnose. You gentlemen are specialists. I thank you for agreeing to help by means of a thorough examination. He's all yours.
Six white-coated doctors retire to their cubicles.
Oh, I do apologise, ma'am. I've misjudged you. You've got a real feeling for the sick. Oh, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Clark leads Horace by the arm.
All right, turn around. Now, breathe deeply. In, out. Say 99.
99. Something's wrong, eh?
Congratulations. You have a perfect heart and lungs.
What? No, Doctor. My heart hangs by a thread.
By a rope, my boy.
Rope? What do you mean?
Next.
He doesn't understand. My heart...
Lie down. Oh. Oh. Good. How's that? Oh. Remarkable. Stand up. Stand still. Cough.
Aha.
You see?
Fantastic.
What is?
Stomach's a model. You've got a digestive system like an incinerator. No sign of hernia. Pulse normal. Next cubicle.
Pulse normal? But, Doctor, I'm in a state of nervous tension.
All the more remarkable.
Sit down. Roll up your sleeve. Sphygmomanometer is ready, Dr. Clark. Mm-hmm.
Relax,
Strong, relax.
Now we'll see something, ma'am.
Only your blood pressure.
As the doctor inflates the cuff, Horace's eyebrows twitch, and he seems to come over all peculiar.
120.
That's high.
80.
That's low.
120/80. Textbook readings, quite normal.
But, Doctor, please. The blood's singing in my ears.
I'm not surprised. I should be very happy.
And next...
Stand by.
The doctor pricks Horace's earlobe. He puts a sample into a container, then holds it up for closer examination.
Ever been a blood donor?
It wasn't that.
Everybody, hemoglobin is 100%.
I'm getting out of here. Just a bunch of vets.
Ah, splendid. Open up here, please.
Yes.
Come along here. Spine, hands on hips. Now. Good Lord! Gentlemen, you must look!
Strong!
Gentlemen, look at this!
Superb! What a ribcage!
Magnificent! If only it were in color!
Oh, Doctor! Please! No, the machine's all wrong! Look, my ribs are all short and they're sharp! I live in constant dread of them puncturing my lungs!
Oh, out of the question! Your bone structure's in perfect proportion!
Besides, your lungs have the texture of asbestos.
Oh. I'm ill! I'm ill, I tell you!
Gentlemen, there's only one avenue left open to us. Psychiatry.
Psychiatry? Oh, Doctor, you'll understand.
Yes, yes, of course. Lie down. Relax. What's the first thing you remember?
My mother.
What was she doing?
Sneezing.
I see. Now, association test. Say whatever comes into your mind after what I say. Mother.
Cold.
Cold.
Sneezing.
Sneezing.
Me.
You.
Pills.
Pills.
Water.
Water.
Wet.
Again, water.
Washing up.
Washing up.
Naffy.
Naffy.
Nora.
He opens his eyes.
Nora.
Clark winks at the psychiatrist.
Oh, Nora.
He runs out. Like a new man, Horace strides into the naffy, nudges someone aside, then gazes at Nora.
Hi, baby.
Nora turns away with a frosty look. Undeterred, Horace paces confidently past the canteen tables to the counter.
Come here.
Tell us the matter with you, Horace. Are you ill or something?
Ill? Not me? Your marbles must be loose.
Oh, whatever's happened to you, Horace?
You answer the questions, kid. Want to be my doll?
Doll?
Yeah, but not the sort that goes mumma when I squeeze it. Okay?
I'll have to have time to think about it.
Okay. Think. Time's up. Through there. Move.
Oh, Horace.
What a right bunch they turned out to be.
Oh, just luck. Rotten bad luck. I must have stood under a ladder and kicked 13 black cats sometime, rather.
Well, don't worry, Sarge. It'll all be behind you this time tomorrow. Your last day in the army. I wish it had turned out the way you wanted it. You know, you at the head of a champion platoon.
Yes. Didn't give them to every man to achieve his life's ambition. Certainly not to me. However, I hope when you get the other one up, you'll have better luck than I had. Good night, Colonel.
Good night, Sarge.
Don't be daft, Herbert. Characters like Grimshaw don't leave the army. They can't. They've taken root.
Listen, I heard them talking about it. Tomorrow's his last day in the army.
And the best of British luck to the old... Oh, all right, then. Perhaps he isn't such a bad old buzzard, is that?
Best sergeant I ever served under. Let's give him a present.
I know what he'd like. Us, the champion platoon tomorrow. What a hope.
I would like that. I heard him saying just that to Corporal Copping.
Ah, it's impossible. Any case, why should we knock ourselves out after the way he's chased us around?
When did he ever chase you, Andy?
Or any of us, for that matter.
He's yelled a lot, but sergeants can't talk quietly. If he'd wanted to, he could have had all of us inside over and over again.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder why he didn't.
Excuse me. Perhaps he's been trying a sociological experiment, too.
Eh?
As Miles said, Grimshaw could have made life purgatory for us. He didn't. Why?
Why, Jim?
My theory is this. With us, his last platoon,
Grimshaw tried the experiment of deliberately putting a brake on his disciplinary powers, relying instead purely on his personality. In my opinion, such an experiment deserves success. Boys, we shall be champion platoon tomorrow.
You're barmy.
We can but try if the others will cooperate. What'd you say?
Go on, boys, try.
Okay.
What have we got to lose?
Nothing.
Come on, let's tell the others.
Blimey, we've forgotten Horace. That's Tornet.
Wait a minute. Horace, we've decided to knock their eyes out tomorrow, to come right out on top.
Okay.
You know, everything. Ropes, bayonet, grenades, the lot.
Yeah. Ropes, bayonet, grenades, the lot.
James looks amazed.
Okay.
Taking the ciggy from his mouth, Horace goes to his bunk, does a handstand on the metal rail, rolls slowly onto the mattress, then curls up into a ball of excitement. The bugler heralds the new day on Heathercrest National Service Depot's expansive parade ground. Herbert marches confidently up to Grimshaw.
Well?
You're a man short, Sergeant.
That's right. One man sick. Appendicitis.
I'm taking his place.
Who sent you?
No one. I'm volunteering.
You're on top of everything. This.
Well, what are we going to lose?
All right, Brown. Get in there.
Thank you, Sergeant. Well, I shan't be needing these chits anymore, Corporal.
Well, I hope he's got his braces on. Let home! Let home! At hand! Home! Move to the left X-rays! Left! Home! By the right! Right! Left!
At Grimshaw's side, Copping watches open mouths as Able Platoon march off in tight formation.
I don't believe it.
Grimshaw nudges Copping, and they run to catch up.
There, there, there.
The shorter Copping joins the rear.
Number three gun. Ah.
15 bulls. 15 bulls? Maximum. Maximum.
Carry on, Sergeant. Detail! Oh, yeah. Detail, change!
Number one gun clear, sir!
Number two gun clear, sir.
All right, boys. Show them what you can do. Hang your hat! Shine!
Hang your hat! Horace is in the first pair to show their proficiency at bayoneting. Looking impressed, Potts jots in his pad. Grimshaw orders the next couple. Horace catches the rope from Grimshaw, then swings over the muddy pit with no fuss. Grimshaw and Copping share a wink.
And remember, it's our last chance. So do your best. Right? And good luck to all of you. Right, race up. Race up. Redoom! 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 Helen! Redoom! Slow! Arms!
Rifles on shoulders.
Move to the left in threes! Left!
Grimshaw joins the platoon behind Copping.
Charlie looks smart.
But look at my Horace.
Raid! Raid! Tom! Slow! Arms!
The regimental band leader with a baton.
Ben!
Raid!
Ben!
Ben! Right in threes! Right! Down! By the left!
All of the platoons march across the parade ground. With the main Heathercrest HQ as a backdrop, the parade turns. The ranks of soldiers begin their approach to the main presentation party, where a senior ranking officer standing on a platform salutes. Able Platoon marches one past the guests who are sitting in a row at the edge of the parade ground. Nora and Mary look on proudly from a window in the Maffey. Rival sergeants sneer as Grimshaw marches forward proudly to accept a silver trophy cup. With the prize in his hand, he salutes as Potts watches. The platoon score goes off the chart.
Well, this is the last time I shall see you all. You're as fine a body of men as I ever have seen. Proud of you. Broken all records. Special recommendations, outstanding. Sage?
Sir?
Recommended for training as armourer.
Sir.
Bailey?
Sir.
Recommended for education corps.
Sir.
Strong.
Sir!
Recommended for physical training instructor.
Sir!
Brown? We're sorry to lose you, but heartiest congratulations, remarkable persistence. Succeeded in passing your preliminary training test on the eve of your release.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I'm not leaving altogether. When me leave's over, I'm coming back as a regular.
Ah, well, what? How magnificent, sir. Oh, well, enjoy your leave, Brown. You deserve it.
Thank you, sir.
But all the lot of you. All work and no play makes Jack... Well, I think we all know what the Army says about Jack, what? Carry on, Sergeant.
Sir! Platoon! Platoon! Stop! Platoon!
The platoon salute, then dash to a covered truck. Potts is with Grimshaw, who's in civvies.
Well, thank you very much. And you have a late and buzzard way, you know. Feel like looking in? Always pleased to see you.
Thank you, sir. I'll remember that. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye. Good luck.
In a dark suit, Herbert jumps from the truck and jogs over to Grimshaw.
Excuse me, Sergeant. This is for you.
Grimshaw takes a small box from Herbert, who dashes off back to the truck. Inside the box is a lighter and a note for Sergeant Grimshaw from the boys. Touched, Grimshaw looks up and sees the jubilant lads waving goodbye.